Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Jim Traber coming up at 9:30. Get his thoughts on just the craziness that happened down in the Cotton Bowl on Saturday with Oklahoma authoring the greatest comeback of all time in that storied rivalry between OU and Texas. We'll get his thoughts on that and much, much more at 9:30. We'll get into the college football weekend. Obviously, the game down in Dallas is a huge part of what we'll talk about. But then A&M, as much fun as I've made of A&M, they take down Bama. What a shocker. A&M was left for dead on the side of the road after losses to Mississippi State and Arkansas. They take down Alabama with a backup quarterback. Unreal. Iowa, talk about having the rabbit's foot or the four-leaf clover, the luck. Iowa is lucky because if Sean Clifford doesn't get hurt, Iowa does not win that game. But Iowa does come back to win 23-20. So where are we after the first half of the season? Pretty much everybody's kind of six games in, halfway through the regular season. Where are we? Talk about that. Wrap up high school football Friday. The Elk City Elks with a humongous 4A1 win over Chickasha. And that's going to really, really matter down the stretch here, I think, when it comes to the playoff positioning, making the playoffs first, but then also where you get seated. Big win for the Elks on Friday night. We'll talk about that. Where's 4A1 at? And then the battle for Beckham County was painted orange and black as the Merritt Oilers just crushed Sayre on Friday night to win that game. A little bit of revenge from what happened last year, I think, because that game last year over at Sayre was nuts. It didn't come down. It wasn't decided until the very last play of the game when Colt Merritt got loose on a quarterback run from, 50 or 60 yards to score the game-winning touchdown. I'm sure Merritt remembered that this Friday night, and the Oilers hammered Sayre to win their first game of the season. Also wrap up the fast pitch softball fall baseball as all that ended this weekend as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698 gives us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. We'll also get into the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em standings. I just can't do better than 5-5 every single week. 5-5, 5-5. So we'll update you on that, where that pick'em contest stands. Going to be outside the listening area. You can listen to us a couple of ways. KADSAM.com or the Paragon Communications app. The app gives you all kinds of goodies. Not only radio stations, also the Penny News. Check out this week's edition of the Penny News online in the app, thepennynews.com, or go pick up a free copy of that Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. No, the Elks are a Thursday night this week with Weatherford coming to town. I have a feeling everybody is as well. Check Merritt right quick. But Thursday night, Big Elk TV, Elks hosting Weatherford. The Eagles off to a rough start in District 4A1 play. Merritt hosts Moreland coming up on Friday. Thursday night, the 14th. So I think pretty much everybody's going to be playing on Thursday night this week because of the fall break. So Thursday night, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV right there in the app. You can also find us, if you missed the show, Skinny on Sports Podcast. Where's that at? iTunes and KADSAM.com. What's up, Jared?
How you doing?
What a crazy, crazy weekend. I know we're going to get into the OU Texas game in the next segment, but just the range of emotions. I've got a confession to make when we get into talking about this.
Okay.
That I must tell the listeners. But outside of that, how was the rest of your weekend?
It was real well.
I bet it was. Made it better, didn't it?
Well, that definitely helps. Sure. It was real good weekend. A lot of good things happened over the weekend with certain teams winning and certain teams losing.
Yeah, man, if you're a Texas fan, not only that gut punch that OU delivered, but then you have to watch A&M beat Bama
that
night. Ooh. I guess basically it just serves you right for rooting for him.
Oh, boy.
High school football Friday night. The Elks, a really good win against Chickasha, 31-8. Once again, that offensive line, they were named our player of the game at the end. But the Elk City offensive line dominated that game from start to finish. Daylon Thompson rushed for almost 250. He's now nearing the 1,300-yard mark through just six games. Roughly 470 short of the school record for single-season rushing, held by Richard De La Rosa back in 1998, 1,755 yards. Daylon's nearing the 1,300-yard mark, so you know that he's right on track to surpass that record for sure. But behind that line, man, the Elks were able to move the ball when they wanted to. And I thought defensively, you know, outside of a couple of quarterback runs that kind of got out the gate a little bit, I thought defensively the Elks were really good again on Friday.
After sleeping on it and thinking about it over the weekend, I knew the offense would be able to do what they did. It was the defense that impressed me the most, able to put the clamps down on that Chickasha running attack that we'd mentioned going into the game. And like you said, there's a couple of times. And I just don't think they're ready for that, quite honestly. I think they're really concerned with the running back and not so much the quarterback run game. And Chickasha took advantage of that. But once that was adjusted and taken care of, that defense I thought was fantastic. It was a good showing from them.
That's now the third time this season that the Elks have faced what I think is good backs and basically shut them down.
Yep.
Think back to the opener against Landers from Pampa, held him to just 40-something yards. The other night, Malik Murphy never got on track. I can't even – my stat sheet's in my car. But he didn't bust 40 yards. It seemed like he didn't even get out of the 20s, if I remember right. And then even in the loss against Jaden Gilliland last week against Bethany.
Yeah.
You know, they held him down pretty good. It was Taylor Himes rushing from the quarterback spot that really made a bigger difference in that game than what Gilliland did. So, you know, the Elks kind of have a track record so far this season of being able to do that against running backs. And now Sam Hoppen from Weatherford will be the next opponent that you've got to figure out a way to slow down or shut down. And if you can do that, then that makes your job defensively on Thursday night so much easier. If you can make Weatherford have to throw the football, it hasn't been their strength, obviously, in watching the game. So that's going to be a huge key defensively, I think, for the Elks coming up on Thursday night. So right now, when you look at the district standings, we talked about it on Friday, it feels like there's starting to be kind of the separation in the district.
Right.
Clinton and Bethany, they kind of draw a line. Then you've got the Elks in Newcastle, and then you can kind of draw a line there. And then, you know, everyone else is trying to figure out a way to get back in into the district race. That, you know, Chickasha and Elgin both 1-2. Good news for Elk City, they beat them both. So they own that tiebreaker over those two teams. And quite frankly, I think, at least for Elk City's side of it, the district race or the playoff chase, we'll know in 2 weeks exactly where Elk City stands. Because if you can beat Weatherford and you can go down and win at Cash, then you've got those last two games, but you are basically guaranteed to be a playoff team.
Right.
With the wins that you've got, the tiebreakers you'll hold over the teams that are behind you that could step up and, you know, kind of win some games maybe they shouldn't, but you're going to have tiebreakers over everybody if you can win these next two games.
Right, yeah. And just, you know, protect home field, and, you know, starting this week, and then you got to get that key win on the road against Cash. Absolutely. It feels like after Friday night, there's four definitive teams in this district than the other four. That's becoming a little bit more evident with the results that we saw. I mean, there's none more telling than all the results of the teams winning Clinton, Bethany, Elk City, in Newcastle, and by the margin that they won, mm-hmm. It became pretty clear, okay, this is a four-team. It feels like a four-team district in a way.
I'm still not going to count Cash out.
No.
I know they're 0-3, but they've also played Bethany, Newcastle, and Clinton.
Right, yeah.
You know, and so they're at Chickasha, then they host the Elks, then at Elgin, then host Weatherford. They're a team, even though they're 0-3, sitting at the very bottom of the district standings, I'm not going to count them out until they lose another game. because you could see them winning four in a row sure. and then it being a jumbled mess, yeah. you know, to, yeah. to figure out who's where.
Right.
And so that's the one team that when you look who's played the toughest part of the district, it's definitely them. You know, right now I think what most people would say are the best three teams Cash has played.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what the one team that's in the bottom four right now that I think can make a run. Or possibility to make a run. But outside of that, I think you're right. I think that everyone else, it's pretty, you know, the order isn't set, you know, but I think the right. teams kind of are.
I tell you what, this week, I know they're down and they're 0-3 in the district, but Weatherford is a team you better be ready for, because now they could play that role of spoiler, and they would love nothing more than to come here on Thursday and beat us and was a couple weeks later host Clinton and beat them. You know, they would love to be that spoiler role if that's their role this year.
100%.
I mean, it's still Weatherford. It's still Weatherford.
You don't have to tell me that. No. I can promise you that this is the scariest game on the schedule in my mind, just because of – yeah.
It could be one of those trap game feelings on Thursday night. It's at home. You're rolling. Weatherford's not. You do not want to let your guard down, guys, if you're listening.
No, for sure. For sure.
You better be ready for this team.
There's no doubt about that. But the next 2 weeks will tell the tale. Either the Elks are comfortably in the playoffs, or we're going to be doing a bunch of scoreboard watching and needing what most would consider an upset of one of the last two teams that the Elks will play. Anyhow, battle for Beckham County,
and then,
as I said.
And then, I'm sorry, to stay on 4A. You know, we always look at 4A1 scores. We're going to start paying a lot here the latter part of this season. We're going to start looking at 4A2, because if that becomes true as far as solidifying a playoff spot, then we're going to start thinking, well, what place do we need to start looking for a restaurant at? You know? Hopefully.
2 weeks. 2 weeks is going to tell us. In 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because that is when Blanchard goes to Cushing. I mean, you know who's going to – you feel like you probably know who's going to win that district.
Blanchard goes to Cushing in 2 weeks. Okay.
Yes. And right now, Blanchard 3-0, Cushing 2-1. Harrod's also 2-1, but they still play Blanchard and Cushing.
They still play
– but
– who's that, Hera?
Yeah, Hera.
Well, Blanchard, they still got Cushing and Tuttle.
That's right.
And that could shake things up for them.
Yeah, it's just the you know, Cushing's already lost the one game to Tuttle. Most people probably think they're the second best team in the district. Yeah, right. We're getting some reports. We're going to have to figure this out. Getting some radios off, 1240 off. We'll have to figure that out at the break.
Well, unfortunately, man, we can't do two things at once.
No, but we can get somebody that can.
Tell somebody.
let's see. As I said, battle for Beckham County, Sayre got it put to them by Merritt. What was it, 41-7? Was that the final when it got done? Internet is slow this morning. Yeah, 41-7. Merritt put it on Sayre. So the Oilers get their first win. And all of a sudden you look up, and Merritt's sitting fourth in the district with just the one district win. And so, you know, I think there's clearly three teams in that district that are better than the rest. There's two teams that are worse than the rest. And then Merritt, Texoma, Burns Flat are all going to be fighting for that last spot. And, man, you hope, if you're Merritt, that 1 point doesn't come back to bite you in the butt when it's over. You know, just that 7-6 loss at Texoma. Good news, though, for Merritt is this. When you look at the schedule, they still have two of the four top teams in the district, Moreland and also Fairview, but go to Thomas, and then, man, that last week hosting Burns Flat Dill City looks like it could loom pretty large by the time this thing it's when it's time to figure out who's going to be in the playoffs. That could be a huge, huge game.
I mean, Burns Flat, lost two in a row and doesn't get easier hosting Hooker.
That's right.
This week. Yeah, so that game could set up to be pretty big.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
Burns Flat schedule is probably the most friendly.
the last four for them?
Yeah, they've already played Moreland. They've already played Fairview.
Right.
So they've got Hooker, Sayre, Thomas, and Merritt.
Hooker will be tough. At least it's at home.
But then you get
– at Sayre should be okay. Thomas, they're down. And then, yeah, they could set up for Merritt in Burns Flat for a – yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
All right.
We got a lot on the plate. What do we got? Are we having issues here, too?
No.
There we go.
I just didn't have the screen clicked. I thought, oh, my gosh.
What is going on? All right,
we're going to have to tell people how to get on the app.
That's what I've...
Ed, and he's headed to the tower.
In the shotgun, Stoops in motion. Direct snap, Brooks fakes the pitch, bounces it outside. He's to the 30, he's to the 25, he's to the 20, he's going to go! Kennedy Brooks, he just won! He just won the game! Kennedy Brooks just won OU Texas!
Yes, he did. The Oklahoma Sooners come back from a 21-point deficit at the end of the first quarter to beat the Texas Longhorns 55-48. Just an unbelievable afternoon down in the Cotton Bowl at Dallas, and in one of the game, one of the sport's greatest rivalries, one of the greatest spectacles in all of sport, the way that that stadium is situated during the Texas State Fair, half burnt orange, half crimson and cream. And, you know, we talked about it, and everyone talks about it throughout the week leading up to it. There's just nothing else like it from an emotional standpoint. And there are just times where certain plays happen and the ball starts rolling down the hill and one team gains confidence and gains all the momentum, whatever you want to call it, and the other one can't stop it. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday. For Oklahoma, once they got things rolling, Texas tried to hold them off, but that tidal wave was just too much, and Oklahoma comes back and wins 55-48. I have to confess to our listeners. So Wyatt had a game at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Canadian was in town to play Sayre, and I had laid out my earbuds to plug into my phone to kind of listen to the Red River game while I was watching the Sayre game. And I left the house at the end of the first quarter at 28-7, and I threw them right back in the drawer. I said, nope, I'm not listening to that. And then when we got there, a guy had it on his phone. We could kind of hear it. So we kind of updated throughout the game. But, yeah, I gave up at 28-7, I'm not going to lie. But, man.
I may or may not have turned the TV off and threw a little hissy fit for a little bit. I was following on my phone.
Right.
You know, I do that. Don't we do that? Aren't we all a little superstitious where we got to change something up? This mojo is not working. We got to change it up.
Yes.
And so what I did, I turned it off. I went to another room, but I had my phone on the stats, and then good things started happening. I was like, well, and Allie was like, well, I got the game on. And no, wait, no. We can't change this up.
But eventually, you got to go back and watch.
Eventually, I went back, and I'm freaking out. Crazy game.
And obviously, coming out of it, the huge story will be the change at quarterback. Mm-hmm. Rattler looked unsettled. A couple of turnovers, threw a pick, then fumbled the football. Caleb Williams comes in and just authors an amazing story. The true freshman with all the hype behind him. But man, to me, and it's easy to say this after you see what happens at the end, but to me, when he got on the field, there was a change in body language. There was a change in from around the team. And I would love for somebody to ask Lincoln Riley one question. I think his decision was made easier when on that 4th-and-1, Williams takes it 66 for the touchdown. What if he just gets 2 or 3? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know
what
I'm saying.
He gets a first down, but what if he just gets 2 or 3 yards? Then what happens?
Right.
Instead, you know, he runs for the touchdown, and then, you know, the rest is history. And Williams, for a true freshman stepping into that spotlight on that stage in that game, you couldn't possibly ask for more out of him.
Right. No, that's, you know, I'm trying to process him going in. What does it mean? You know, how did that happen? And part of me was like, Texas wasn't ready for him. They're ready maybe for some red zone packages with him is what we kind of talked about. By the way, I was right on the over of how many snaps.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that had a little bit to do with it as far as Texas wasn't ready for him because they were preparing for Spencer Rattler all week long. But things I saw out of Williams, you know, it's stuff that you can't really explain unless you're into sports and you even have a history with the game. He just looked like he had that it factor, and sometimes coaches have that feeling about, listen, it's working. He has it. It's working. We can't pull him out. So I don't know if, you know, yes, he got 66 yards or 2 yards in a first down. I don't think it would have changed Lincoln's opinion or a, you know, decision to keep him in or keep him out.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Because he scored, then he had time to make that decision.
Right.
If he just gets the first down, do they
– Well, I think it might have –
Does he keep him – does he even keep him out there on the next play?
Right, I see what
if he
saying.
Just gets two, is Rattler back in there? And then that drive doesn't end up being a touchdown.
Right,
you exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Depending on how that drive ended.
Right.
It could have been – well, it could have been the answer, like, listen.
Or what if it is a touchdown and Rattler authors a drive?
Sure.
I mean, because the truth of it is, even though Oklahoma came back, they came back and won that game with 2 seconds left on the clock. That decision had to be made right then for it to work the way it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All that had to go together. But, man, just the – I can't think of the balls on that guy to make that choice. Just incredible.
Well, what was the score then, 28-7?
28-7.
28-7,
yes.
Maybe he was thinking, what else I got to lose?
Well, and that could be true as well.
It's like we're about to get rolled, or it feels like we're about to get rolled. I got to change up the momentum a little bit. Let's give this kid a shot, see what happens. And then, you know, the turnover factors later, you know. But I can't think this game, and that's something I failed to realize when we were leading up to this game, talking about this game all last week. We're talking about the units versus units, stats, historical stats, what it could mean for this game, etc. What we kind of failed to realize, me especially, there's always a player, it feels like, in this game that steps up that you don't really expect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that was Caleb Williams. And something we didn't really talk about. Who's going to be the guy? You know, who's going to go off for Texas? It was Worthy. You know, or who's going to – we always just kind of point to the obvious. Well, it's Robinson and Brooks. Those guys. You got to contain those guys. Or they're going to have – if they don't, they're going to have a big day. Their team will win. Didn't think about it. There's always that oddball that guy just comes out of nowhere, becomes, you know, sets their name in stone at the history of this game. And obviously that was Caleb Williams. There's always that X factor, that one guy that steps up, makes a play. Like, that's the guy. Who's the guy who – was it Winchester recovered the muff punt? Mm-hmm. I mean, there you go. There's that one guy.
Yeah, nobody's going to kick the long – nobody's going to pick the long snapper as the guy.
No, that's what I'm saying. But him coming in, Williams, now, of course, we'll have all week to talk about this, but is he the guy?
I mean,
forward?
I'm going to be there Saturday night.
What will
in the
you
stands.
Do if number seven takes the first snap?
I'll pass out.
Yes. Jim said it best in the post game.
See, I didn't.
The fans might rush the field before the game.
I mean, honestly, I didn't listen to the post game after after what happened because I wanted to kind of be surprised at what he says, like today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I couldn't wait to listen when it looked like it was going bad.
Did you know fans ran the field?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until – because, of course, they just cut to the next game, the BYU
right.
game.
Oh, no.
And I was listening to
the students
guys,
rushed the field.
Said the students rushed onto the field.
Hey, here's a question.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Do we all owe the students an apology?
Or do we owe Texas fans a thank you for ruining that before the game?
Yeah, I just got that text before the –
careful what you wish for.
Before the game on game day, chanting, "We want Caleb."
Wow. It's – but I see – yeah.
I mean, honestly, Riley was really non-committal after the game about who would be the starter against TCU, and for obvious reasons.
He just wanted to get back to Norman, and now they're going to sit down and think, how do we move forward?
I can't wait to get Jim's opinion on this because Holly Rowe was throwing a little bit of a fit after the game about Riley not allowing them to interview Williams. or, you know, the first off, that's been kind of their MO with freshman quarterbacks or whatever. But to me, I think that it was the prudent play by either Riley or the PR or whoever it was that made the decision for both guys to not put them in a position to say something in the heat of the emotion of what just happened that they really didn't feel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, Coach Richardson over at Sayre, we had a meeting last week about fifth and sixth grade basketball. Mm-hmm. And he was going through, you know, here's how everything works. Here's how this, here's how that. And he said, here's one rule that I would like for the parents to, and myself, I do it as well. It's called the 24-hour rule. Give it 24 hours and then come talk to me. Don't just, you know, in the heat of whatever happens, you know, he goes, there's been too many times where, you know, somebody's aunt came up to me at the concession stand, you know, and all that. And it just doesn't, it's not a good look on anybody. So I think, you know, that especially if you're Williams, you know, that's a pretty easy way to say something that, and you know, we all probably want to hear that soundbite, but it's a pretty easy way to.
Have you heard the ridiculous?
Kind of say something that probably wouldn't be good.
I saw an op-ed on about that, about not letting him talk, how it's costing him
money in the NIL.
Oh no. Got to point out all the flaws, don't we?
Yeah.
Got to get those clicks.
For Texas, man, I got it. Casey Thompson was really, really good. Worthy is a breakout star as a freshman. You know, I came away from that game thinking, you know what? This is the scariest Texas has been in a while.
Yeah.
If you're an OU fan and it being, you know, maybe you're not going to dominate the Big 12 anymore because it's going to be gone or you're going to be gone. But as far as Texas goes, they seem set up to really get themselves back.
I would agree.
Sarkisian, some of that, and a lot of young playmakers. That's the thing. Now, their old bugaboo and what has been their problem since 2009, their offensive line is awful.
Yes.
It's awful. And a big part of why, you know, a lot of people were, why didn't they run Robinson? Well, they couldn't. You started just sending everybody. And they, you know, they just had enough time to hit a play or two down the field, but you know, the Sooners just kind of choked that out, and the offensive line for Texas couldn't do anything about it. OU's got better. I don't think there's any doubt that Riley's offense, first of all, works better when you can run it, and I think it works the best when there's a threat from the quarterback spot to run. I think that's the biggest difference between those two guys.
On the same play, ran twice. They're so concerned about Williams. You know, that counter.
And he didn't even have the ball ever.
Exactly.
They snapped it right to Brooks.
He Brooks.
Faked a little pitch and took off. And the defense kind of shifted back to Caleb.
Crazy.
Crazy game. One of the best ones in the history of the rivalry. Obviously the largest comeback in the history of the rivalry. We got all week to talk about now what happens. How does this set up everything else?
You talk about the 24-hour rule. That's what I did to this game. I thought, was that did I really see that? Was that one of the best games I've ever seen? And I still can't get enough of it. I'm still looking for every highlight, looking for every writer's opinion and stuff. And the consensus is that could be the game of the year, clearly. And that's going to be one they're going to talk about for a long time.
It was a good one. And, you know, lots of things happen around the country. Joining us now is the voice that you hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. He is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you this morning?
I'm good, fellas. How's everything out there in Elk City?
It's good. We were able to avoid a lot of the weather that everybody else across the state got last night, which was pretty nice. It rained, but it wasn't bad.
We got hit here, man. Did you see? You didn't see my video that I put up on Instagram, did you? Man, my trees were flying all over the place. It was crazy, the wind and the rain. But we needed the rain. Unfortunately, there were some bad tornadoes in places, so that's. I hope everybody's okay. But yeah, you know, that's crazy. That's seemed a lot more like May than October.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what though, it felt like May when we went to church yesterday morning. It was like, whoa, this isn't fall. This is like middle of spring.
May. Yeah,
yeah, that felt really, really weird. You're right. I agree with you.
All right, so man, what a crazy, crazy game down in the Cotton Bowl on Saturday with Oklahoma falling behind, looking like one of those blowouts that Bob Stoops was able to put on Texas back in the day. And instead, they find a way to turn it around. The offense got going to a level that we haven't seen all year long. Defensively, they were terrible in the first half, much better in the second half, just good enough for Oklahoma to come back and win 55-48. What are kind of your overall thoughts about the way that game played out?
Well, I would have never picked Texas if I knew Caleb Williams was going to come to the game. No, listen, one of the all-time football games that you can watch, and there's been a lot of them on there. Just so many different things to talk about, so many twists and turns. I don't know. I just could not believe what I was watching to start the game. You know, the 14-0 in three plays was just crazy. And then, you know, somebody said, oh, you know, looks like your pick's going to be good. I said, yeah, you better relax. And, of course, there was a whole bunch to come back. And really impressive the way they came back. I thought that I will tell you this. I think OU's defensive backfield stinks. I've been saying that. You guys know I've been saying that. And now what I'm hearing from people is, oh, you know, Woody Washington, and, you know, Turner Yell. Okay, well, if Woody Washington can change that much, well, then he's going to be a first-round pick. They got problems in the defensive backfield. The good thing for them is, guys, is that they got nobody who can really exploit it.
Right.
Right? Who's going to exploit it? Until they get to play, if they get to play the big boys, you know, like Alabama will exploit it. I don't know about Georgia, but they'll get exploited if they have to play some of those guys. But great comeback win, an amazing quarterback situation. I don't know what to say. I will tell you this. I think that one of the reasons, guys, let me tell you what that game reminded me of. It reminded me so much of the Rose Bowl, OU Georgia. That's what it reminded me of, because it, only the exact opposite. I thought that Lincoln Riley went in a shell against Georgia, and I thought that Sarkisian went in a shell on Saturday. He had unbelievable game plans coming out, basically saying, gosh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sorry, fellas. Anyway, saying that, okay, we've got an All-American running back, and we know you're going to try to stop him, so we're going to throw it around. We're going to do some stuff. And then that set up the running game. I thought in the second half, some of the plays they were running were just ridiculous. And then OU's defense got, you know, momentum and started believing in themselves. I know everybody's going to disagree and say, no, OU just did a great job defensively. I think a lot of it was Sarkisian. I really did. You know, here's the other thing. Why at the end of the first half did they go for a field goal? I mean, you know, they are lighting OU's defense up, and suddenly they decide that they're just going to get in range for a field goal. They had defensive backs, Jaden Davis and the McCutcheon kid. They couldn't cover anyone. So I don't know why they didn't try to keep pounding. People do it all the time, and you guys know everybody went crazy when Lincoln Riley did the same thing against Georgia, right? He did the exact same thing. And then what happened was that Georgia's defense, which, by the way, was really good, they gained confidence. Next thing you know, they were hitting Baker Mayfield. Then Baker Mayfield threw that interception in the middle of the field, and there was a football game. So I think Sarkisian was – I think he obliterated Grinch in the first half. And then after that, I thought, boy, I don't know, man. I don't think he did a real good job. But I'll give a lot of credit to OU, and obviously – Caleb Williams is absurdly talented, and he brings something to the table. I don't know if you guys heard me. I said this to Al this past week. I said, Lincoln Riley will never, ever, ever bring in a quarterback again that can't run. He's not going to do it, because he just is a better coach when he has a quarterback that can run. And I think we saw that. You want to know, let me give you a perspective too, guys. Al and I are in the press box, 4th and 1. What is it, 28-7, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
They call a timeout. They come back on the field. They snap the ball back to the quarterback. And as he starts to run forward, I say to Al, this is the worst play I've ever seen. You know why? Because I thought it was Rattler.
Right.
I didn't realize it was Caleb Williams. And by the way, Caleb Williams should have been dropped for a 2-yard loss. He gets away. That's the biggest play. People are talking about Caleb Kelly's play, and that's fine. I mean, look, I'm not an OU fan, but I hear these guys going, oh, it's so wonderful for Caleb Kelly. Okay, as a human being, I understand. You know, he's had a lot of bad injuries and everything. That was a big-time play, and there were other really good plays. But that's the play of the game by far, fellas. It's not even close. I mean, if they get stopped there, it's going to be 35-7 because they weren't stopping them. So that was an amazing play. And then, boy, the almost fumble that wasn't a fumble down there after the great run with Kennedy Brooks was another big one. But you can go on and on and on. And obviously, I guess we were all right, right? Kennedy Brooks is a better running back, right?
I don't know what that was all.
What was that all about?
I don't know. I have a question about that play with Williams. Even if he just gets 2 yards, does Lincoln Riley make the change? I mean, how much did the? I don't think he does either.
No. Listen, he's not going to make. I didn't mean to say no.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about. No, I don't think that made any difference at all.
Okay.
The change. I don't. I disagree with you on that, Skinny.
Okay.
Listen, Lincoln Riley and all these young, impressive offensive coordinators that are littered throughout the NFL and college now with their half beards and everything. Okay. They all look all the same. The number one thing you can't do is give the ball to the other team. They go crazy over that.
Yeah.
And that fumble was unacceptable. You just go down. I don't know what he was trying to do. Just go down. And after that, he was like, I'm done. And then, you know, we were talking at halftime. It was Dean Blevins, Al Eschbeck, myself, and Myron Patton. And I just asked a question. I said, who's starting the second half? And both Dean and Al said they thought Rattler was going to. And I said, no way. I said, there is no possible way he can start Rattler. If he brings Rattler on the field, he'll get booed, and it'll be ugly. And Myron agreed with me, too. So I just thought that it was I think it was a no-brainer. And then here's the other thing. People are talking about who's going to start this week. He can't start Rattler.
No.
There's no way. I mean, I'm sorry. The feelings thing is over. And you want to know the number one reason why, guys? Caleb Williams came in and started the second half and will start this coming week. And I hate to say this, fellas, they're not winning in that. They have no chance to win a national championship with Spencer Rattler. Zero. Now, I'm not saying they're going to with Caleb Williams either, but with Rattler, they have no chance, fellas. Some of his instincts and some of the things that he does, and look, they can talk all they want about they love him, and he said something on Twitter that was, about, oh, I'm so happy for my teammates, and blah, blah, blah. That's all well and good. But I'm telling you guys, he's not a big-time leader. I don't care what anybody says. I watch it. I watch this stuff. I look on the sidelines. He hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, as far as he wasn't moping and stuff on the sidelines, and I was really happy for him. I think if he would have, overthrown that two-point conversion, mm-hmm. and that would have made a difference. That would have made it even worse. But, of course, somebody said, why'd they do that? Well, because the backup quarterback's not practicing two-point conversions, so they had to go back to Rattler on that play. So I thought thought it was an amazing storyline, and I will tell you this. I mean, if Caleb Williams stinks it up somehow, then you bring Rattler back in. But I don't know how he's going to because, he just looks like he can make plays that Rattler couldn't make. And then I think Rattler's going to go in the portal. And let me tell you one last thing, guys. Maybe sometime, and probably never is the answer, but maybe sometime all of us will forget about the preseason hype. Let's think about preseason hype, right? You got Rattler as the best quarterback in the country, first pick in the draft, Heisman Trophy, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, that's been totally shot down. You want to know the other thing we had, fellas? How about Eric Gray as the newcomer of the year in the league?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, do you guys remember in August how everybody was talking about him? My boy Al Eschbeck, who I've been with for years and years and years, he's got connections down there. I mean, I'm not ripping Al because he's just saying what the people are telling him. And they were talking about how great he was. And I kept going, but this Kennedy Brooks kid was unbelievable a couple years ago. And, boy, they started Eric Gray and they kept giving him the ball. By the way, he's a good football player, Skinny.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not a good football player, but Kennedy Brooks is big time. I mean big time. So it looks like they got the right running back now. It looks like they've got the right quarterback. I still don't think they're going to win a national championship. I know Alabama lost at A&M, and everybody thinks now, blah, blah, blah. By the way, that was one of my picks. I had Texas A&M plus 18. That's a pretty good pick. But, yeah, I still don't think they're going to play with those big boys. But I'll tell you what, Williams gives them a better chance. Now, let me get one negative. Two of the balls he just threw up in the air, and they gave it to Mims, and Mims made unbelievable play. Mm-hmm. Right? We all agree with that, right? But that's what you do. See, that's what you do. Instead of Rattler, some of the times when he was in trouble, like running for 2 yards, I keep having people saying when the snap went on the ground,
that he would have fallen on it. I disagree with that. I think that's going a little bit too far. I don't think he would have made the play that Williams made. But if you've got a big-time superstar, look in the NFL how many times quarterbacks just lob it up to their big-time receiver, right? It happens all the time. So this Caleb Williams kid looks really good. Now, I'm not going to suddenly say that he's going to be the greatest thing ever, but I think he really looks good, guys. I really do.
Yeah, something that you mentioned there, and you guys have talked about it, you and Al both, I've heard you talk about it for a couple of years now, is in order for Lincoln Riley's system to work, they have to be able to run the ball. And in order for it to be the juggernaut that it's been, the quarterback threat to run just completely unlocks everything he wants to do. And I thought on Saturday, yeah, or be able to just to have the threat of it, to keep, you know, that GT play, the backside defensive end has to stay put for an extra count because the quarterback can pull it and go the other way.
Yeah.
You know, and just that opened up things for that offensive line and Kennedy Brooks just by the threat that Williams could run it.
That beautiful play that they ran, you know, the one that scored twice, both times they ran it, where he goes and then he pitches it back, that's because the other team is thinking, oh, my gosh, we got to get that guy. Now, I do think Rattler ran it one time, too, and it worked. But that was the very first time it's ever been seen. So, I don't know, man. Look, OU's just hanging on by the skin of their teeth, fellas. But they're undefeated. That's all you can ask. And, you know, I don't know if there's going to be a team that can exploit them. I mean, maybe Spencer Sanders. Maybe. Maybe Purdy will come out of his funk. I don't know. But it looks to me like they got a great chance to go undefeated. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't know, man. It's been a crazy year for a lot of teams around the country, and it's been even crazier for Oklahoma. But they're 6-0. I don't know how they came back and won the game, but they're 6-0.
My final question about the game, with Williams having success, and I mentioned this earlier to Aaron, was it because Texas was prepared for one guy and not him? And do you think now that TCU's got, you know, a full week to prepare for Williams, will that hamper him down, or is Williams just that kind of a special talent and doesn't really matter?
The preparing thing, if they're two totally different guys, you know, like it's still in Stillwater, that kind of makes a difference. But, you know, if you notice, guys, after the 66-yard run, he didn't really run a whole bunch.
No.
It was just the threat of it, you know, that it was. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there probably was a little bit of that. I think more so, instead of Texas with Caleb Williams, I think it was OU with Caleb Williams. I think that they were like, wow, this is – okay, I can only put myself in a position, okay? Let's just say that I really like Spencer Rattler, which, by the way, I'm telling you guys, I got a lot of sources. By the way, they did have a big brouhaha in the locker room last week on the defensive side. Something happened. No one will tell me exactly what happened because they're trying to hide it from me. Of course, that's happened before, hasn't it? Right,
yeah.
Down there in the Cotton Bowl, that's happened, right. Where everybody wants to lie and make it my fault, but that's another story. Anyway, there's no doubt that happened. The other thing is, fellas, I know a lot about – I got a lot of sources in that area. I used to live there for 20 years. You know, these guys that are saying all these real good things about Rattler, okay, I'm sure the kid's a good kid, but he is not a great leader. And so if I'm a – let's just say I'm a player on that team, and I've been on a lot of teams. Let's say I'm a player on that team. And I like Spencer Rattler, okay? Let's just say that. And I watch Caleb Williams go 66 yards, and I'm standing on that sideline. I'm going to go, wow, that is unbelievable. That's really impressive. And then I just store it in the back of my head because I've watched him in practice. I know can do that. And then when he runs on the field to start, there's not a guy on that team, even friends of him, that are going, yeah, okay, good. I want to see what he can do. And then he does what's he do? I think his first drive, he leads him to a field goal. Is that right?
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think they go to the field goal. And then it goes to halftime, and Texas very stupidly decides that they're going to settle for a field goal. And then it comes out, and then the kid makes all those plays. And I'm telling you, feelings don't mean anything now. I could be Spencer Rattler's roommate, and I'm going to hug on him and go, Spencer, I love you, dude, man, great stuff. And in my mind, I'm going, I want Caleb Williams to play. It's just the way life is, guys. It's the way it is. So Yeah, he looks like he's got a chance, fellas, to be really, really special. Don't forget on that 66-yard run, the dude that was chasing him runs track for Texas.
Right, yeah, that's what was amazing, that he just kept on being able to keep him at bay. Like,
yeah,
that,
another 5 yards or so, he probably gets right. caught, but still. Yeah, I mean, the guy was gaining on it, but it wasn't, like, immensely gaining. And I don't know about you, it didn't really look like Caleb Williams was running that fast.
He was just
kind of cruising.
I didn't realize how, to me, on the TV, he looked so much bigger than I thought he was going to look. He looked like a big old guy, like Newton, Cam Newton type of size to him, just on the TV. And maybe it was just the difference between the guy he replaced and him, as far as physique, is so drastic that it made him look bigger in my mind than what he really was. But it was like even on the TV, and I know, I'm sure you could see it there, even on the TV, when he came out for that first drive right before halftime, it was like the entire mood of the team changed. And you could almost feel belief in him that just simply hasn't been there with Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, well, and you're getting your butt kicked, so you're looking for any type of change, you know?
Yeah, anything on to.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any doubt that the team got fired up with him out there. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I can't imagine. I'm on TV last night, and Myron is talking about, well, maybe you put Rattler. There is no way Rattler will get abused if he runs out there to start this game against TCU. I'm sorry. I might boo if I'm in the stands, and I've never booed anybody. Seriously, I've never booed. You got to play this kid. Now, again, if he stinks it up at some point, you got a really good backup, right? But I'm sorry. I mean, I hope, this is what I hope. I hope Rattler's father and the people around him, who, by the way, I'm just telling you guys, it's not a great situation,
right?
Okay? I mean, I just think that they feed him everything. You know, we see what his father tweets and everything like that. I haven't seen anything. I don't know. Has his father tweeted? Do you guys?
I haven't seen any of that yet.
Okay, well, I just hope that they don't say to him, this is a bunch of crap, you're still going to go to the NFL. You know, I hope that they say, okay, you know what, let's go somewhere else and play. Because, first of all, there'll be a bunch of teams that would take him. And, secondly, he is dropping like a rock. And, you know, I actually blessed his heart on Saturday. My wife would have been really proud of me. Because I felt bad for him. I mean, I felt bad for the kid, man. I mean, that's a... You can't find a worse platform to have that happen to you, you know?
Right.
But guess what? I'll say it again. I told you at the very beginning, and this is going to be a big point on my show today. Lincoln Riley's not trying to win the Big 12 championship, fellas.
Right.
He's trying to win the national championship. He knows what we knew. They're losing a bunch of players, okay? They're going to lose some big players, Benito and Winfrey and these dudes, right? They're going to lose a bunch of dudes. They're going to lose. They're probably going to lose maybe a couple of. Well, Turner, Yell. They're going to lose some guys. Mm-hmm. Fields, right? I think he's done too.
Yep.
So he knows. He mainly played Caleb Williams because he's trying to win a national championship. And he said, "Whatever, let's do it." And you know, they watch him in practice. He's really, really good. So.
Yeah, I'll be in the stands on Saturday night, and I don't know if it's going to be hard for me not to boo if Spencer Rattler runs out there instead of Caleb Williams.
Well, you said it best after the game. The fans might rush the field before the game if Seven's taking a snap.
I like that. I like that.
You said it. But, you said it. I'm giving you credit. You said it after the game Saturday. I kind of shook my head. That is exactly right. Aaron might be rushing the field.
There won't be much rushing. It'll be a slow walk down there, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be right behind you. Go ahead. You lead the way.
Around the country, A&M took down Bama. You know, to me, the luckiest team of the weekend, outside of maybe Oklahoma, was Iowa. I don't think they win that game if Clifford doesn't get hurt for Penn State the way it was going at 17-3. So, we're about halfway through. Kind of where do you think this thing is right now as we look forward to kind of getting into November and the chase for the college football playoff?
Well, I still think Alabama. I mean, listen, look, if Alabama loses to Georgia in the championship game and has two losses, then it's going to be really, really hard for them to get in.
Right.
But I still think they're one of the best four teams in the country. I mean, that quarterback, Alabama's defense is suspect. There's no doubt about it. They're not as good. But if you watch the game, they threw an interception in the end zone. They dropped a touchdown pass. I mean, they did everything wrong and still almost won the game. And the Texas A&M quarterback, he must have done a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable how good he was. And I give it up to him, but I'm just saying he has not even been close to that since. I mean, or before that. So I still think they're – I think Georgia's defense is incredible. I mean, I think they're amazing. And, you know, Cincinnati finally has played some people and beaten them. So if they go undefeated and stay where they are, they're going to have a legitimate chance. I'm not really sold on anybody in the Big Ten. I guess the way it works, if Iowa State, you know, gosh, Iowa State's undefeated out there, they're going to have a legitimate chance, obviously, to get in. I'm not sold on Michigan. And, you know, I think Ohio State's playing well. And then there's nobody in the Pac-12, and there's only OU in the although, I guess, I mean, if OSU ran the table,
right.
I don't think they can, but if they ran the table, they might have a chance. So I think if you told me who's going to be in it right now, I would say Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Cincinnati. That's crazy, isn't it? But maybe it's Iowa. I don't know. I'm with you. Iowa's a good team. There's no doubt about it, but, boy, you know what they'd be like? What was the team? Was it Michigan State a few years ago that they got into this thing and they played
yes.
somebody and got obliterated? Was that the team?
Yeah, Michigan State. Yeah, they played Alabama the same year Oklahoma played Clemson, what, 2015? Yeah, they got beat like 38-0 and didn't even look like they belonged anywhere close to being on that field.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. That's what I think. I think if one of those teams gets in and let's say they play Georgia, I think Georgia will light them up. But I don't know. This is a weird year, guys. Weird year. The good thing that OU's got going for them is that it is a weird year. I mean, everything is crazy. So who knows? OU may run through and do something. I don't know. Maybe now with a new quarterback. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, and there's still that thing laying out there for them to play in Dallas. If they are, you know, the second seed behind Georgia, you'd think they'd go down to Miami and then, you know, more of a home game for the first time ever. That I can, you know, in these big time games in the playoff or the BCS title game, where the Sooners would have an advantage crowd wise, being able to play in, down there in Jerry World.
Yeah, no, you're right. And listen, everybody's all fired up. They don't want Alabama in there. Nobody wants Alabama in there. Even though maybe their defense is struggling a little bit, you don't want Alabama. That quarterback Bryce Young can play now. He's really good. But it's going to be fun to watch Caleb Williams. It really is, because I think the kid's got some stuff that I think Lincoln Riley really wants. I really do. Now, it's interesting because this perfect scenario that OU has with their quarterbacks, where you redshirt, play 2 years. It's going to get messed up now, you know. And by the way, if Spencer Rattler leaves, they're going to have to get another quarterback in the portal for sure. And I don't know what quarterback would want to leave. I know you want to go learn under Lincoln Riley. I mean, maybe that redshirt freshman kid from – what's his name? Rucker? What's his name? Is that his name? The kid who beat out the Penn State kid at OU. Maybe he's really good player.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bowens. Micah Bowens.
Yeah. No, Micah Bowens got beat out by the
you mean the one that's there. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, something Rucker or something. Yeah. Yeah, I know. See, that's nobody really cares because we know he's not going to probably play. But the point is that the quarterback thing has been perfect, and now it's a little bit messed up. But we'll see. This kid, he did some nice things. He really did. What's up with these kids nowadays, the way they flick the ball? Man, I played quarterback, dude. I'm going to let you know. I could throw the ball 65, 70 yards in the air. I know you guys don't believe that, but I could. But I couldn't flick the daggone thing 50 yards. What is up with these kids nowadays? It's ridiculous. Is it Aaron Rodgers that taught them all how to do this? I don't know.
They all do it, though. Every one of them.
You're right.
All across the country,
right.
They all can just kind of flick it out there. And you think, oh, nice 20-yard throw, and it goes 50.
It's the Mahomes factor.
I know.
Yeah, Mahomes, Rodgers.
Yeah, they're watching Mahomes.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
You're right, because Mahomes has talked about that he learned from Aaron Rodgers, you know, some of the things that he did. I guess what happens is when you're a young kid, if you're a quarterback now, when you practice when you're not stepping into the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you got to start – because I never did that when I was young, ever. I just would practice throwing the ball, but I never practiced like that. So, crazy stuff, man.
Ralph Rucker. Crazy. Rucker, that's who you're talking about. Ralph Rucker.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Rucker, that's right. How could I forget that? Rucker Park.
All right, last thing, NFL yesterday, Jared's got to go do Tradio, so he'll be leaving us. But on the NFL side, hey, our Dallas Cowboys.
What's he trading? What is he trading?
Literally anything. People call in and just it's like a swap meet on the radio for an hour.
That's what my wife thought when I first met Julie. That's what she thought I did. She thought because I was on an AM station. She thought I did like a swap meet on the radio. So, NFL, what great games. I'll just say this, and I'll talk more about it later on the show. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield had a tremendous football game. Let me ask you a question, though. Why will his coach not let him do it? It's 3rd and 5, and they run the ball up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't understand that. I mean, is Stefanski basically saying exactly what I'm saying? If they run the football and block people, then he's fine. But if you put it on him, all I know is I saw the Chargers saying, go, big boy, go, Herbert, do whatever you got to do. But I didn't see that with him.
Right.
So he had a really good game, but he still is what he is. And Stefanski agrees. Don't you agree? I mean, I'm sorry. Am I right?
I think you're 100% right. You got to see it yesterday in that game between those two young quarterbacks. One had complete and utter trust of his coach, and he was able to do whatever he wanted to. The other one still has the reins put on him, and it's because they don't trust him.
No, you're right. I guess I'll be watching your Cowboys in the Super Bowl. So
hey.
You know, they're the best day. They're unbelievable.
I want to get into this later when we have a little bit more time, but – I mean, we've talked about CeeDee Lamb and that draft pick and the way it all worked out. I think the Cowboys got really fortunate the way it did work out, because not only did they get that guy there, but then they also got Diggs later on. And you know, if you try to do it the other way around, it never works that way because CeeDee Lamb's gone. It doesn't always work that way, but for the Cowboys, at least in that draft, I think it worked as good as it possibly could have.
Well, they got a second. They get a second round pick, and the kid's playing unbelievable football. So yeah, it did work out. There's a little bit luck. There's always a little bit luck when you're drafting. The one that I thought was ridiculous was taking Ezekiel Elliott over Patrick Ramsey.
Yeah.
That was the one that I thought was a joke. But no, you're right. I still to this day I don't think I wouldn't have taken CeeDee Lamb. That's just me. When I'm terrible on defense, I'm taking a defensive player.
Right.
That's just me. But you're right. It has worked out because Diggs has turned into a star. So, yeah, the Cowboys are really good. They're really good. There's no doubt about it. And I wish my Steelers would have lost, but they won. And I picked them, by the way. That was another one of my picks. I liked them in that game against Denver. But, you never know. Cincinnati lost. Cleveland lost. So, hey, I love it when the two Ohio teams lose. It's a good day.
If Indianapolis could do a little job tonight, then the Steelers would be the only ones in the division that won this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm happy about that. I think I might want them to. I wanted them to go maybe 1-16 and get a quarterback, but we'll see.
Hey, man, Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Can't wait to listen to the show at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
All right, Skinny. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yep, bye
bye. Bye bye. That is the Ultimate Jim. Traber joining us on a Monday, as he always does. Jared left us a little bit early to go do Tradio. We'll have all kinds of time throughout the week to rehash what happened. Look forward to this weekend. Big game down in Austin with OSU with Texas. It'd be interesting to me to see how Texas handles that. Do they limp in, or does the loss fire them up? We'll talk about it all week. Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!